Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 and InsideSTL.com. I'm Charlie Marlowe, filling in for Tim McKernan. We've got Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and we've got Doug Vaughn on this short holiday week. Are you guys ready for Thanksgiving?
Yes, Charlie. I'm ready and eager to go forward with the holiday celebration.
What's your favorite side dish?
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
I'll say it again. Mashed potatoes and gravy, and I'm not apologetic about it.
Hot shots.
Doug, are you going to have folks over? You're going out? You're doing a little of each?
Are you going to participate in the show today, Doug,
I've got a date all weekend, a date with Lady Journalism. I'll be working Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, but they'll bring you a delicious meal at Fox with the staff.
Well, they may.
And they told me you always load up six plates and bring that home for your family and say, here's Thanksgiving dinner.
It's my turn to work Thanksgiving.
So, in exchange, do you get a favorable Christmas schedule because of that?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, I'll make that trade-off.
And Hanukkah, you're off?
I haven't checked the date on that yet. What's the date?
Doesn't it change every year?
Changes every year.
So what would be the dates this year?
I haven't checked yet. I'm preoccupied with getting ready for Thanksgiving.
Oh, well, what do you have to do to get ready for Thanksgiving?
Just get in the right temperament for the holiday, and that takes a little work.
That's about
Are you not in that temperament?
Anytime I come in and I see Iggy and I see Plowsy and I see Doug and I see Seymour and I see you, I get in a hot... Even if it's not a holiday, I feel that way. I do want to ask Iggy. Iggy had a big event for the Meghan Meyer Foundation, the Gobble Bowl. And I understand it was celebrity-laden. I understand they raised a lot of money for a wonderful cause. And I understand, Iggy, a fun time was had by all.
It was, Kat. Thank you for asking. Celebrity-wise, the great Ryan Kelly was there with his team. What a great man he is. Mm-hmm. He's a
good,
prince.
Good dude. Yes, sir.
We gave Dan McLaughlin, Danny Mac, and Donna Strode Burdett, my late sister. We named an award after her, the Compassion Award. We gave it to Danny Mac of all the money he has raised for kids' charities throughout the last 15 years. So he was out. Ken Bone came out.
Nice.
Raffled off one of his red sweaters. It wasn't the original, but took it off, and then we raffled that off. So it was game-used red sweater.
Oh, nice.
Plowsy was out. Thank God Plowsy was a... Godsend. I really didn't want to bowl, and after the first game, Plowsy came out, so he bowled for me.
How'd you do, Plowsy?
I did not do very well.
Whoa.
I haven't bowled in a while, and went there thinking I wasn't going to participate, just to kind of hang out.
Oh, you hadn't visualized properly.
Yeah, I didn't have any practice and was a little bit self-medicated, obviously. Went in there a little rusty, but I think I ended pretty strong.
What'd you bowl?
I think the third game I bowled an 84.
Oh, you did not.
I did.
Solid.
84.
And this follows up Iggy's 288 that he had the game before. So I really stepped in strong.
Iggy, 288.
That's a 9-pin no tap. So it's.
It was almost like.
What does that mean?
That means if you get 9 on your first ball, it's a strike.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
What are we playing with those kind of rules?
Why would you play that?
Because we have a lot of people bowling and not a lot of people are that good. So. That way, if you get 9, you don't have to pick your spare, so it goes quicker. When you have 160 bowlers, you don't want to be there all day, so 9-pin goes quicker.
Huh. Never heard that rule.
I'd like to play like 5-pin. I think I could bowl up at 280.
A lot of times I go Brooklyn side and I wind up with 9.
Then it would have been a strike Saturday, Doug.
Yeah, I think I'd like that rule.
You know what my favorite bowling term is, Iggy? Uh-oh, I got grandpa's teeth. When you got 3 pins standing kind of spread out.
Sure.
That's what I always say. Yeah, grandpa's
kinda,
teeth.
It's kind of like the Greek church.
Well, kudos to you, Iggy, for always taking care of the Meghan Meyer Foundation. I did talk to Danny Mac, who was actually quite honored to be, put center stage at the Meghan Meyer Foundation getting an award. And he said he had a ton of fun. So good
for
you. He
did. He met a lot of people. A lot of people wanted to talk to him. So, yeah, thanks for asking. It was a great afternoon. A lot of the fan page people came out. Chrissy Blake bowled.
Who else came out?
Deke Dotem was on my team.
Danny Mack got to meet Deke Dotem, and I don't want to speak for Danny, but I would say he's more in favor of redemption this morning than at any other time.
Well, that's a
shame. I think so. I should have said if Deke shot 300, would you unsuspend him?
No.
They're playing four pin, so he would have bowled
four pin, no tap.
You just get four. It counts.
Who was there? Matthew Eisenreich was out there. I feel bad because I don't want to start mentioning a few people and forget a bunch, but there were a lot of fan page people that came and hung out, and I think we raised $9,000, and we were there for four hours, you know, a little bit of bowling, so it was a good night.
If I were you, I would have sprinkled in. Eddie Vedder was there. Just throw a couple of big names in there, too. No one's going to follow up.
Kanye was
here. He ended his tour and went to the Gobble Bowl.
Lupe Fiasco put in a little appearance.
Well, there's one thing you don't want to do to me is tell me what to do. You can ask me. Don't tell me what to do. There was one gentleman we had 125 items. And thanks to people like the Cat who helped out and donated. Cat got me a Matt Adams bat. But we had 125 items. It takes a while to give all of that away. So we were done bowling, and I still had like 30 items to give away. I figured no big deal. People are going to sit around and drink beers. So I have a little, you know, depending on what the item is, I'll say, this came from, you know, they've always been good to us. They did this, you know, guy came up, he goes, can you hurry it up and, you know, stop talking about the items. Just read a number. I said, for you. Okay, buddy, for you. Next item. I got to tell you a little story about this item. And I just made it go longer and longer and longer. But, thanks for asking. It was a fun day. We raised a lot of money. And thanks to everybody for coming out.
Who was so rude as to tell you to hurry
I don't know who
up.
This gentleman was. I know almost everybody there. I don't know who this guy was.
You're giving away items. Hey, I don't like the way you're giving away these items.
He wanted to go quicker. I said, well, okay, buddy, I'll take care of you.
And Larry was tanked.
Oh.
My.
Isn't that inferred?
Atlanta. He was tanked.
I'll tell the quick story here. Larry, you know how when he comes on Tuesdays, he always gives his Ryan Kelly live spot. So I was talking to Ryan Kelly through the microphone. I said, Ryan, what'd you bowl this game? And Nixie started yelling something. I said, Nixie, it's about time for your live spot. So I gave him the mic and he did his live spot. Ryan gave him $50 for the live spot to go buy raffle tickets.
Really?
He bought raffle tickets and he won a beauty and bath basket that my friend Rachel Levine put together with soaps and candles and moisture.
Perfect.
Good prize. No, it was.
But he's walking around trying to trade for the WWE tickets.
Was he able to make a deal there?
No, he gave it to his mom, didn't he?
Yeah, and I thought the real funny part when the guy who won the wrestling tickets was a real Hoosier. I don't think he was a listener of the show.
He wasn't going to give him up.
He was, he was gun set. And then you see little Larry just coming up there with a basket of soaps. Hey,
you want some soaps?
What do you mean, soaps?
I'll take those tickets for some soap. So anyway, thanks for asking. It was fun. Great day.
And before
thanks for coming out, guys. Doug.
I was working.
Yeah, Channel 4 was sending a camera out, too, and they didn't show up. Yeah.
Why couldn't you use a VO, Doug?
I remember last
week. Wait a minute.
I remember last week that I was criticized because Fox 2 was not going to come out because they didn't RSVP. And Doug, you championed your own station saying that you RSVP'd and you were going to come out.
I don't remember saying that.
No, he didn't, but somebody from Channel 4 said we'll be there, and they weren't there. So.
They could have put that in sports, a nice little sports-related VO.
Rather short-staffed.
What'd you have?
Saturday.
World's largest pumpkin you had to get in there?
High school football.
College football, high school state championships. Yeah,
that's in sports. This wasn't a sport event. This would have been like a human interest thing for Betsy Bruce to come
out. I'm just telling you, they would love to cover all kinds of things like that, but they're so short-staffed that it's just not possible.
Jasmine Hudow could have come up.
She's at Channel 2 now.
Oh, okay.
And she's off on the weekend.
She didn't come up, did she? Sounds like an excuse.
I don't watch news. I'm just throwing names out there.
Hey, Doug.
I don't know if Seymour's here, but Seymour, if you're here, this is a code red. Can you please kick in the AC because
the vents are shut down.
We got a funk in here.
It is hot in here.
It's hot and burning out. And it's a funk.
I don't smell.
You think
funk.
It's a smell? I mean, I think it is hot in here, but I don't think it smells.
What did it smell like when you walked in, Plowsy?
I quoted as saying it smells like onions and man meat.
Now, man meat?
Ooh, nice. It's a nice combo.
What sort of meat?
It's almost like a heat you can like taste.
All right, but the AC's on, so it'll get better. Charlie, why don't you run along with your little cat?
Oh, just run along? Why don't you do all the live reads?
Let me just tell you something.
There's 72 of them.
Let me tell you something, buddy.
How about this? Can we start the show? Can I just do 42 straight live reads, get them out of the way, and then I can just kind of relax? And I have a lot of hot takes.
I know you do. I know
I'm excited for the show.
Okay. But I just want you to know that I'm here to help. I've already had Plowsy since I don't know how to do anything at the station. Get me onto the text inbox, and I'm going to help with that.
Thanks,
on
buddy.
My own.
I like that. I have it up too as well.
And it's very difficult to scroll through.
I've said that. Look, I know people complain, but you try to scroll through, it doesn't do it. The second you have your text to read, I get ready to read it, and it goes and zips away. It zips away. But hey, Bud Light, the official beer of TMA, they present Blues coverage and our countdown to the Winter Classic on Monday, January 2nd at Busch Stadium. Bud Light, the official beer of the morning after. Plowsy, last night, your Packers, is it over this season now? Is the season over? You can officially say you guys are done.
I would say so. And at the beginning of the year, I had the Lions winning the division. And so it kind of looks that way, although I didn't have the Packers at this point being this bad. But, I mean, you're going to have these seasons, and you don't have them very often. The Cardinals don't have them very often as well. I'm lucky to have both of those teams be very successful the regular season and the playoffs. But it's time for a regime change. I've already said it. You know, maybe Ted Thompson stays, but you got to get rid of Mike McCarthy, Dom Capers. And, I mean, it's nothing that they've done. It's just, doesn't seem to be playing hard for them. The defense is out of whack, so need to make a move.
May I say this? And again, I know this is totally hot sports take, local radio that you do on a national show, but for years we've heard about potentially Nick Saban going back to the NFL. The guy has nothing to prove at Alabama. He basically wins the national championship every single year. I think he's close to 65 if he's not 65 already. Probably has 5-ish years left to coach in general. If you're that guy and you can take an NFL job and you have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback and you have the last 4 or 5 prime years of Aaron Rodgers, Isn't that the job to take? I mean, in the NFL, if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win.
I'm Nick Saban, that again.
That's the job I take. Again. In all seriousness, if you don't have a QB under center, you're not going to get W's.
Ring the bell.
And I like
you agree with that, Doug.
I do.
Depending on who comes in as D coordinator for him, and
he's the defensive guy himself.
If Eddie Lacy does stay, they have a rapport there from Alabama, so I think you might get the best out of Eddie Lacy.
Why would you need that though? Why would you need that in your life? Maybe you do. But if you can, I mean, my take is if you're a very successful college football coach at a program where it's a machine and you get the best players and you're great every year, I think your job is a lot easier and you have less scrutiny. I mean, that is your fiefdom. So, and you're still going to go down
as great.
Good word, by the way. You're still going to go down as great, but you're not putting yourself up to the scrutiny. You don't have to. You have it won already.
I agree. Why in the world would he leave? He's got the world by the tail right now.
Because if his ego, and I say this in a good way, is big enough that he wants to be known as one of the greatest coaches of all time, because right now he is known as a great college coach, arguably the greatest college coach there is, but he did not succeed at the NFL level. So from that standpoint, he cannot be compared to Jimmy Johnson, who did it at both levels. He cannot be compared to Pete Carroll, who did it at both levels. And I think for a guy like that, what else do you have to prove? It's not even really a challenge anymore for him to win at Alabama. If I were him, and I care about legacy as one of the greatest coaches of all time, if he went to Green Bay or another NFL team and won a Super Bowl,
his legacy is not
one of the greatest. I don't think he would. I think his legacy was already hurt.
Well, what if he goes to Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers gets hurt the second game and he's got no quarterback and he finishes 3-13?
Why
and
not
then
just
see? He can't coach.
By the way, Doug, real quick, can you suspend Zambo immediately for vileness?
What did he do? Something on the text line?
Oh my gosh,
Zambo, you've been suspended for vileness. You've been suspended a period of 2 days.
I did see that.
Your name is going into the Llewellyn's Pub leather-bound suspension.
I'm helping you, Charlie.
I noticed that picture, but it's not even close to as bad as some of the other ones we've had. It was very visually displeasing.
Yeah, if I'm him.
Oh, I guess it is pretty bad. Never mind.
Yeah, it's the worst. If I'm Saban, I enjoy what I've created, and I'm gonna do that until I decide that I don't want to coach anymore, and I'm not going to risk going to the NFL and having to deal with that. And what if you get off to a slow start and people are like, I guess Saban can't coach after all.
Now, why would they say it in that sort of
a lot of the old timers will say that in Green Bay. You know the media in Green Bay.
Yeah, right now he's the king. He can sit there and berate any media guy who asks him a question. He can get any recruit he wants. He can play for a national championship almost every year. He's making $7 or $8 million a year. He doesn't have the big city media yapping at him. And
Green Bay is not big city media at
well,
all.
Well, but Milwaukee is a whole lot bigger than what he faces in Tuscaloosa or anywhere else.
The pressure to be the coach at Alabama is just as great as any NFL
job. And he probably looks at Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll didn't have that great of success his first go around in the NFL, went to college, built a dominant program, left at the right time at USC to Seattle, and look at the success he's having. And Nick Saban, how he left Miami was a disgrace. Telling the media member, telling all the player that he's not going, 2 days later, he's already on a plane in Tuscaloosa.
Yeah,
so
that's why
I
just
think
enjoy what
going
I got.
Back to the pros, it might untaint his legacy, but I highly doubt.
Now, granted, Harbaugh's a lot younger, but look at the success he had in college. Now he's having success with San Francisco. Well, he did have success with San Francisco. Then things fell apart. Now he's back.
That wasn't his fault, though.
No, but he reached, what, 2 straight NFC championship games? And then he goes back to Michigan. He turned that program around. So I think in that aspect, it's a little bit different because he has done it in 3 different stages and been successful, whereas Saban has yet to be successful in the NFL. So I think Charlie's right. If it's an ego thing, look, I want to try this one more time. I don't want to go out as a failure in the NFL.
Let's define our terms a little bit and kind of dig down into this.
Let's
workshop. If you could be a wildly successful coach in the NFL or college football, and mind you, I used to be more of an NFL fan than college.
Don't say mind you.
Okay. I can't think that quickly on the fly to do a renovation with my words on something I've already said.
Okay. Cultivate a new word. That said,
all right.
I hate the NFL now because I'll get over it, but because of the team that used to be here. But if I had to pick, even when I was a big fan of the NFL, if I had to pick what job I would rather have in which I could be wildly successful, I would choose college.
So would I.
I think it's a lot easier. I think if you're recruiting, like if you're a mid-major coach or a struggling coach with a program you're hoping to get to the next level. You're out on the recruiting trail as a head coach. If you're Nick Saban, the promise of maybe getting a meet is enough to put the 5-star recruit kid in your column. You don't have to go out and do that. You're just the closer once in a while for the kid that you're having trouble with.
And in college, the players don't talk back. You don't deal with an owner who thinks he knows more about football than you do. It'd just be a whole lot easier once you got it.
What rolling. Say you, Charlie?
Well, I started the conversation by saying I think he should go because
I'm saying if you had to pick, that's a different question. Now try to follow along. We're workshopping here. I know you're not in here every day. When we workshop, we put our collective intellects together to try to come up with a solution.
I think early on the college gig is a grind when you're building that. Even Nick Saban going back to Alabama. He had to build Alabama back up, even though it's one of the greatest programs.
If you could be a wildly successful.
I think in the college game, you spend so much time on the recruiting trail. I think in the NFL game, you spend just as much time, but you're sitting in the film room at the facility, sleeping in there on a cot. So I think from an hour standpoint,
the question
is,
you're already made
similar.
It. You made it. You're a good NFL head coach. You're a good college. Which job is more lucrative to you?
To me, honestly, I wouldn't, and I'm not trying to take the easy way out of this question, I wouldn't care. I think if you're an Urban Meyer at Ohio State or a Nick Saban at Alabama, I think your credibility and your legacy is just as high as if you're a great NFL coach. But again, if you want to be known as one of the 2 or 3 best coaches, best football coaches, there's only a couple that have done it at both levels. And that's where, again, I just think...
Yeah, but you're not even answering the question.
I just said, I think it's the same.
All right, Iggy?
Oh, I said college only for the fact that I would rather be in charge of some kids than be in charge of a bunch of adults making $5, $6, $7 million a year.
Yeah. College, because you have full control of your roster. You're not playing somebody because he makes $5, $6 million a year. You're playing the best players. And I think having that control, and the kids seem to listen more rather than in the NFL being adult with money involved, I would easily pick college.
And those co-eds love the college coaches.
And they're judge, jury, and executioner.
What does that have to do with
you think
it?
He's playing around with the co-eds too? That would probably be a distraction.
You asked me what I would rather do. I don't know if Saban is. I know I would be.
You'd stay single as a head coach.
Hell yes, I'd stay single. I'm on a college campus.
You'd make visits to the sorority house, would you?
Probably.
Okay, so collectively we decided that Saban will stay at Alabama.
How do you think that would go over if someone as successful as Saban, who happened to be single, decided that, like one night a week, he would go to a different sorority house and give them speeches on football.
I'm telling you, the Petrino neck collar, road rash on his face.
That's a cautionary tale, is what that
is. The best picture, the best still shot.
We just did a whole topic on a coach that may not leave to a team that may not need a coach.
Yeah, but you know what? We did talk about the Gobble Bowl, and good for you.
Thank you for that.
Yep. But if you're Nick Saban and you win a national championship almost every year at Alabama, a school that just adores and worships football, and you were single, yes, they would not care if you were with a different 21-year-old woman every single day.
Probably not.
If you went 12-1, won the SEC, and won a national championship every 3 years, they would not
care. They would blame that one loss on the girl.
Correct. That year, right. Whatever year they didn't win the championship, they'd blame it on that particular sorority sister.
Even better.
He can
blame the co-ed instead of himself.
Ty.
You know what else, too? Like you could pick out your favorite places to eat dinner or whatever, and you tell them, I don't want to get bothered. Like, if you're an NFL coach, wherever you go, people are going to hassle you. But if you're in a town, you know.
I don't know about that. Green Bay is a different ballgame, really, for the NFL. I really believe that. I mean, it's the one small market. I mean, Jacksonville's small as well. But Green Bay is not even a big city. It's the one NFL market
big-time
media.
They get covered by Milwaukee.
Don't you get paid more in college as well? I don't know the salaries.
It depends.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, Saban gets $7.5 million a year. I think something ridiculous like that.
And Jeff Fisher gets $7 million a year to win. He gets like $1 million a win.
Maybe Saban goes to the Rams next year.
How about that?
That won't happen.
Speaking of the Rams, I'm glad Iggy brought this up.
Segway.
Where's that bell?
We should get a little. Can you do that? Can we make a musical like drop in Segway?
I suppose at some point Stan Kroenke could pay Saban enough to go to the Rams. If he said, you know what, we've got to turn this around. Here's $20 million a year.
You don't think Fisher has the right vision?
I don't. No,
What was your Demoff tweet, Charlie, that someone on the text line said
I was ripping on Demoff on Twitter last night.
Because you know what,
I don't either usually, but let me say this.
I don't do patronizing stuff on my Twitter feed, all right? It's all hot takes.
That wasn't patronizing.
Mine is all patronizing.
I know. It was my honest feeling. And again, I don't give the Rams much thought at all. And it's funny because if you send out one tweet, somebody on Twitter will say, move on, as if I can't move on with my everyday life and still take 9 seconds
can't do both.
On a random Sunday to send a nice little vindictive tweet at one Kevin Demoff, who I loathe, by the way. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you this. I was watching the 3 o'clock games yesterday. I had a little money on a few games, so I'm watching the ends of all of them. I'm not going to lie, things are going pretty well on the gambling front yesterday. I have the in-laws over for dinner. We're having a few drinks, and we're watching the end of the Rams game, and it was 10-0 for what? Until 5 minutes to go, Dolphins score, make it 10-7, and I'm just thinking to myself, and I honestly got giddy. I'm like, I just really hope the Rams lose. And it wasn't something I thought about. It wasn't premeditated, but as I'm watching the games, and that became a good game at the end. The other ones weren't. The 49ers, Patriots, and the Seattle game got a little close at the end. But I'm watching that game, and I'm thinking to myself, I just really hope the Rams lose. And when the Dolphins scored another touchdown, I was just really happy about it. And it's nothing that I didn't do it on purpose. That's just how I felt. That was my reaction to the Rams losing again. I felt great about it. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. It was great.
Well, I think a lot of people in St. Louis felt great about that late touchdown beating the Rams.
But when it comes to the Rams, Doug, mixed emotions.
I don't have mixed emotions. I'm thrilled that they lost. And I saw
Were you loading up tweets?
No.
Because usually I can't see you because I'm blocked, but people say you tweet a lot about
it. I have a hot take for Doug. He had a great tweet this weekend. We'll get to it in 1 second once we finish our hot take on the Rams.
Oh.
Go ahead, Doug.
I forgot where I was going. No.
Something about the Rams.
Rams, you don't like them?
No. I want them to lose. I want them to lose every game they play the rest of the way. I saw Tim tweeted out a picture of about a half-empty L.A. Coliseum with the Rams leading 10-0 with about 6 or 7 minutes in the game. They've already gone from 90-some-odd thousand for an exhibition game to the place being about half-empty. That didn't take very long. And I hope it continues.
And also, I like Jeff Fisher as a person. I don't think he's a very good NFL coach anymore. Hasn't been with the Rams.
He runs an imaginative offensive scheme.
Hot take, right. But it's worse when you lose the game and you have your hat on backwards. You know what I'm saying?
Did he have his hat on backwards?
Yeah, I know it was raining. And if you put the hat on backwards and you win,
How does that help? How does a backwards hat help?
Apparently,
if
when it's raining, it helps. I actually don't understand that either.
When it's just rain is going to get on your nose now.
Yeah, I don't get it. But after the game, when you have all the memes on social media, and here he is with his backwards hat as a 60-plus-year-old man, it looks kind of odd.
Yeah.
Well, he's in L.A. now. He's trying to fit in.
Yeah. But he did that with the Rams a couple times, wearing the backwards hat when it was
here comes the rain.
Poor
I'm
weather.
Wear my hat backwards now. That would just mean more water would get on your face.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Well, you know, there's a lot of things he doesn't apparently get about football. That the backwards hat one of
them. But think about this. If you have a number one overall pick at quarterback, who else do you want to shepherd that quarterback?
Shepherd. Don't say shepherd.
Than a creative offensive mind like a Jeff Fisher.
I'm not f-ing going 7-9.
You won't get there. You won't get to 7-9.
Now, what was Doug's great tweet?
Doug's great tweet. Okay, and I agree with him 100%, but I want to give the floor to one Doug Vaughn, because, Doug, we had some huge high school football. We had a state championship game on Friday where Kirkwood won it all in Class 6. We had Vianney advancing to the state championship game.
Doug didn't have that.
Friday
he
night.
Just had the Kirkwood score.
Now, hold on. And Saturday, we had tons of state semifinal games. I believe 8 local teams. But, Doug, you were not happy with something that occurred on Friday night, and I agree with you. And we can unite on this one topic.
Well, we called the CBS affiliate in Jefferson City that often covers things in Columbia. They do that as part of the regular beat, and said, will you be going to the Kirkwood game against Blue Springs, the championship game there? And they said, yes, we're going to go, and we're going to shoot some highlights for a Kansas City station, and we'll shoot it for ourselves, and we'll shoot it for you too. And as soon as we get the highlights of this game, we'll put it all on the CBS news feed, and everyone will be happy. So the station at Jefferson City shows up at the game at Faurot Field, and they're told, wait, you're not on the credential list. You can't come in. And the guy goes, well, you know, it's a high school game. Can I get credentials now? No, you didn't sign up early enough. So they did not let the CBS affiliate from Jefferson City into Faurot Field for a high school football game, a stadium that was maybe 90% empty.
Is that Misha?
Yeah, that's who it was.
There's something
Missouri
wrong with
State
those people.
High School Activities Association said, no, you can't come in and cover the game. They didn't want people to see highlights of the state championship game. We wound up getting it another way, but it made me mad that they think that they are so darn important, that security apparently is such a concern for these high school games, that they wouldn't let somebody with a $20,000 camera on his shoulder into the game to shoot some high school highlights.
To promote your sport and organization
to
multiple markets, the biggest markets in Missouri.
And they're almost happy to tell you, no, you can't come in. It's like it's a power trip, I guess.
Even though
they don't run any of these events. They don't run any of them until it gets to the finals or until it gets to the playoffs.
Even though we compete on TV, in theory, I felt your pain, and I agreed with you 100%. That's crazy. It's one thing, if it's the Super Bowl, if it's the college football playoff, and you have metal detectors, and it's a legit security risk, that is one thing. When you're talking about the high school football state championships in Columbia, where there's a few thousand people, and maybe 50 media at the most, more media in, that would really bother me.
Now, my guess would be that they didn't talk to the right person. Or they had no ID whatsoever.
This is how they work. This is a regular thing. When I tweeted that back, I got several responses from people all over the state saying, yep, we've dealt with the same thing with them. You ought to try to cover a track meet or something. It's the same thing.
Yeah, Misha.
That's who they are.
Misha wants everybody to know that they're more important than everything else going on.
Right.
I've heard from people that after a high school game, you try to get an interview, and Misha will be right there. No, you can't talk to them. Have you talked to us first? You can't. What? It's after the game. I'm going, no. We have to take care of all this. I mean, they're just shooing everybody away.
I guess they're trying to justify their existence. What they should be doing is looking into illegal recruiting at the high school level. That should be their purpose, is to make sure the games are played on the up and up and that people aren't cheating, instead of trying to keep people from covering the events.
Name names. What schools are you talking about?
A lot of the private schools do a lot of recruiting. It's illegal to do.
Illinois, I think, has it worse than Missouri. The Chicago private schools are unreal with recruiting. Joliet Catholics of the world, you know, those teams.
If you're going to do that, you should have two divisions. You should have a private school and a public school division. But don't recruit the best players from all over town and then tell me we won the state title over some public school that gets whoever shows up.
I agree with you. Doug, you and I are agreeing on a lot of fronts this morning.
I like it.
I think this is good. This is good for us.
What, you know what it tells me?
To see the same schools dominate every year when it's not fair. It's not a level playing
field. But how about your alma mater bringing home the hardware?
Yeah.
The Pioneers, Kirkwood. Second state championship in what, five
years?
They
won in 2012, yeah. And they had a really good quarterback. It was Reese Goddard. His name. He's going to SIU Carbondale.
He's got good length, right?
Kind of looks a little bit like Chase Daniels. You know, he runs the ball, takes a hit. He's got a good arm.
As Jeff Fisher
smart
would
guy,
say,
good player.
He's multiple.
Where's he going to college?
SIU Carbondale.
Nice.
I guess he maybe not quite big enough or tall enough for the Division I schools, but he could probably play there at one of them. Well, he is going to Division I, but just not one of the big
schools. It's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the dog.
Yeah.
My alma mater got their ass kicked in the semis.
I was just going to say, Canton got absolutely slaughtered.
Nyack High School wasn't in it.
There's a school you should check, Lamar. What is this, like five straight in a row? They beat Mizzou. They beat Brentwood 62 to something or other.
Where is Lamar?
I don't know. Missouri somewhere.
But it Lamar does go Luttrell. The fact that you and Doug are on the same page in this tells me it took a little time. But the president-elect Donald Trump is, in fact, bringing people together. It's good to see.
Well, he didn't bring very many people together at the Music Awards last night, did he?
I did not watch.
Boy, they couldn't wait to stand up there and take shots.
So I saw that Green Day had a lyric about him, but who else? Because I didn't see the I didn't see the event. I heard, though, because I was kind of just like doing yard work all weekend and not really getting out much, but I saw on Twitter that Kanye went on a rant on Saturday, and now he has canceled his tour, and he was actually kind of pro-Trump, and people are mad at him for that. And then now Green Day said some anti-Trump things, so people are mad at them on one side. But what else happened at the music awards?
Oh, there's a lot. Mark Cuban had snarky remarks, and somebody was making fun of Melania's accent. And I thought, I wonder how it would have gone over if someone had stood up there, if Melania had been Latino or black or Asian or Muslim, and if they'd made fun of her accent then, I wonder how that would have gone over.
Who did
but
that?
It's typical liberal hypocrisy. Which, she's
I think
European.
We have that sound, don't we?
It's open game on her. She's from Europe.
So. Let's check it. I haven't looked at the audio yet.
Is her name Habib?
Yes.
Gigi Hadid does spot-on Melania Trump impression during the AMA's Clip 3 Plowsy.
Hit the lead.
Okay, I got the face right.
Spot on!
Hysterical stuff.
That was horrible, by
the way.
These
are two of the worst people doing a show that I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's typical liberal hypocrisy.
Are they comedians, though? I mean, it's one thing if you're talking Saturday Night Live where they impersonate everyone. I don't even know who this person is. Who's Gigi Hadid? And that was not...
I've never heard of her
That
either.
Was a horrible impression.
I don't know who the other guy was either.
Why would you do the first lady, though? You know, too. Like, leave that out of it.
I'm just saying, if you're talking about like a Saturday Night Live, they always... Well,
but I did hear too, because
everyone's
talking about the Hamilton thing, and someone was saying if Hillary Clinton had won and went to a hockey game or some other sporting event and the crowd booed and then someone took the mic, that would have the left would have gone ballistic.
Oh, it would have been the worst thing that's ever happened in the country.
But I did see Pence, like Trump is
so it's fair on both sides. There's hypocrisy on both sides.
Doesn't happen on the other side, Charlie.
But you know what? But Trump made it worse by tweeting though. Trump demanding an apology and tweeting like late at night and then early in the morning about it, where I saw Mike Pence's, you know, he said he turned to his kids. He was there with, I guess, his daughter or whatever, and said, this is what democracy sounds like, when he was getting booed. You know, and
I don't mind Trump firing back. I think that's why people like him, is that he's not going to sit there and take all this politically correct nonsense anymore.
I don't know. He deleted,
standing
he deleted
up
that
and
tweet.
Fighting back.
Does he really think at this point... He deletes
what does
tweet,
it matter?
It goes away. No, but he should stop with that.
Why? Should. That's what got him elected.
Well, he's elected now. He's the president-elect. I don't think he should go after. Look, it's take your shots when you have a microphone. I think the tweeting is only going to hurt him in the long run.
I love the fact that he fought back and that there's pushback now. There's a boycott Hamilton thing.
It's
I like
fighting,
the fact
though.
That they're not just sitting there taking the political correct nonsense.
But how are you going to unify a country when all you're doing is trying to incite other things?
Well, you can't just sit there and take it coming from one side.
You're a president. You're supposed to.
It wasn't like it was this awful. It wasn't like it was this awful vitriol-filled message. The guy who, you know, the lead actor came out there and said, sir, and spoke very, very
extremely
respectfully.
Rude. It was totally out of line.
When you're
I'm
not saying it wasn't rude to do that. I'm saying what he said, though, was in a very respectful manner. And also, again, I'll just say this. If you're Mike Pence, he's a smart guy. He knows how he believes in certain things. If you're going to go to a play full of, you know, there's a lot of gay actors there.
What?
That's true, and they said that. And knowing how Mike Pence feels about some of those issues, he should have also expected that. That's all
no,
I'm saying.
No, you shouldn't expect
no,
it.
Not when you,
you don't go,
go
to a Broadway play and expect afterward the actor to start criticizing you. Hey, have you ever seen it before?
I guarantee you that he expected to be booed, yes.
No, the booing is... I understand that, and I do think that that is how democracy sounds. We don't, we're not arresting people that dare boo an elected official.
Does anybody boo
but
Joe
Biden?
But
if you're in the audience... You know, if you're in the audience,
what do you think
you
happens though at a Ted Nugent concert? Do you think that there's not a lot of awful things said about liberals and politicians
show,
on the left?
Oh, show me one event where Obama or Joe Biden have been booed when they walk in.
I don't even care that they're booed.
I guarantee you those guys are booed.
Are you
a lot
saying
of
that if that if Joe Biden or Barack Obama went to a Ted Nugent concert,
First
he would
all,
lecture
they
them?
They wouldn't go.
Right, but
yes, I do think that would happen.
I don't.
I actually do.
I think there's an understanding if you're a performer, they're there to see the show, and let them do that. I don't care about the booing.
My point is, it happens on both sides. To act like that would not happen if the shoe was on the other foot, it absolutely would happen.
Show me where it's happened.
And Joe Biden would never go to a Ted Nugent concert, and Barack Obama would never go to a Ted Nugent concert because they know things like that would happen from either the person on stage or the crowd. That's all I'm saying.
Well, Ted Nugent,
you know
Ted Nugent is a lot more extreme than a Broadway play. Ted Nugent has been an active political character, making his views very well known. I don't believe anybody on the cast of Hamilton has done that for him to know full well that if he dare go into a Broadway show, he's going to know that they're going to stop the performance.
I didn't say
and
that.
Start criticizing him.
I didn't bring this up. And I'm not making a big deal of it. I don't think it's that big of an issue. It's one of these things that happens all the time in the political world, especially right now when everybody is still mad.
Doug said, when have you heard of a...
I have never heard of something like this happen.
Okay,
but
so
I'll
it
tell
doesn't
you this,
happen all the time.
But I'll tell you this. I guarantee you similar things like this will happen. And now that you have social media and everybody is pulling their phones out and taping everything... Things like this will happen all the time.
I'm telling you, from the other side, it won't happen. It won't. The Republicans don't behave that way as a group. It's a Democratic thing. We don't get our way. We're going to riot in the streets. We're going to be violent. We're going to be hateful. We're the party of tolerance, except that we're not. We're the exact opposite of that. You don't see the Republicans rioting and doing things like that. Show me some examples of that happening.
Wait a minute. Did the Democrats march in the streets when Bush was elected?
No.
No. Did the Republicans when Obama was elected?
I'm talking about, you said Democrats are the only ones that do this.
That's what they're doing right now.
It's because of Trump. It's not because a Republican won.
Oh, I disagree with you on the Obama thing. I remember watching plenty of stories where they're, you know, racist remarks.
Where were the riots?
Obama got heckled during the State of the Union.
Yeah.
Where was the rioting in the streets? Where was that?
It was everywhere. I mean, it
wasn't everywhere. It was nowhere. Oh, it was nowhere.
I get. Look it up. Look the videos. I'm not saying.
Okay, show me the videos of the Republicans rioting in the street.
There was no rioting, but he was heckled where the guy yelled out "liar."
That's one guy. One guy.
An elected official, for goodness sakes. And I'm in the middle because I'm all for people booing. I think it was inappropriate for the cast. Not a big deal, but I also think. To
recap, I'll give you that. Yeah, it was inappropriate, and it was not a big deal. This is just one of those things, though. Like, it's so easy
on
Twitter for people to just go
crazy. I heard it's overrated. I heard it's overrated.
It's also sold out for like 2 years straight.
Yeah, but it was inappropriate. So I guess we have some agreement and some disagreement. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the Blues won on Saturday.
Hey, along the lines, though.
And I hosted, and I was great.
I'm just checking the fun with audio. I have not seen or heard any of these clips, so don't blame me. But because we're talking about Mr. Trump, we have an SNL skit, fun with audio, clip one, Plowsy, Trump's secret plan for ISIS.
Thanks for coming, General.
My pleasure, sir. Thought we could take a moment to discuss strategy before your upcoming term.
Sure.
We've been stuck fighting ISIS in Jabhat al-Nusra for 6 years now. So when we found out that you had a secret plan, it really energized us.
That's right. a plan. Very secret.
Well, whatever it is, we're really looking forward to hearing it come January. It's only 7 weeks away, so let's save some lives together, sir.
Tremendous. Love it. Thank you. Okay, right. Here we go. Here we go. Big plan. Big plan. Google, what is ISIS? Oh my, 59 million results. Siri, how do I kill ISIS? This is a BlackBerry. Big beautiful boobs and buildings, big beautiful boobs and buildings.
Not that funny.
The beginning was kind of funny.
That's okay.
I'm kind of disappointed. Well, I'm disappointed for different reasons. And I know Kate McKinnon, apparently now she's doing Kellyanne Conway, that she can impersonate her. But this whole run-up to the election, when everybody said that Alec Baldwin was so great doing Trump, I think Kate McKinnon doing Hillary was by far, like, I thought she was fantastic. And just for that, in part, I thought her doing Hillary for the next 4 years would be great, because I thought she was more funny than even Alec Baldwin was doing Donald Trump.
I haven't seen it much lately.
Oh, yeah. She's hysterical. She's great.
I think she won an Emmy last year, didn't she? And I think it was mainly for doing that.
But I applaud Trump for having the guts to name a female as his campaign manager, Doug.
But first time that ever happened successfully. Yeah.
What a shock.
Now, why is that a shock?
Well, he does a lot of things
with
women.
You have to hate Trump
because
Gaga told you.
I don't hate Trump.
All right.
Didn't he have three campaign managers, though?
Yeah, one.
Corey, who's now a CNN political analyst, supposedly.
One had some ties, also apparently was accused of putting his hands on someone in a violent way.
How about this? Pony Danza texting in, the Charlie Marlowe knows everything. Hail the Buckeye. Mm. Hot shots. Somebody else, and I'm just reading text, Doug. Somebody saying that Obama was booed very loudly when he threw out the first pitch here at the All-Star game. And I'm sure things like that happen.
No, I was there.
At baseball stadiums.
He was not booed very loudly.
Yeah, that's what
he can say that, but it's not true. I was
there. Where were you at?
I was there.
In the press box?
Yes.
So could you hear the boos down by the field?
No, I didn't hear a lot of loud booing. No, absolutely did not.
Somebody texting in.
Maybe the guy next to him was booing.
You don't like your glass open, so maybe you couldn't hear. We like ours down.
Okay.
So we can hear the crowd.
All right.
And booing is great. I don't care. I don't care who gets booed when. People want to boo, that's their right, as long as that's where it ends.
I don't like the booing. I don't like the booing. I don't like the booing unless if a player's not given an effort, go ahead and boo. He's lucky enough to be there. He's being paid millions of dollars. And if you're not trying, that's a boo. If you just make a physical error, so that's not a boo.
But
everybody
me,
makes a physical error.
But it's not for
error.
Me to say. Honestly, as much as I grew up like hating the Red Sox, I never booed the Red Sox. Like, it's not something I do. Like, I'm not a. But if other people want to boo, that's fine as long as it stops there and you're not, you know, yelling cuss words where everyone can hear it or throwing things like that. I don't care. Booing is fine. And that goes for political leaders. I that's why I admire what Pence said. That's what democracy sounds like. We're not living in some sort of monarchy where you're not allowed to express your feelings. And that's why even with the protests, like I have my questions about some of it, but a protest, as long as it's peaceful, that's democracy. I don't have any problem with that.
Well said.
No, I mean, but when you're protesting in the middle of the street and stopping traffic and somebody got
different.
Hit by a car and actually got killed.
Well, that's different.
Smashing windows
and
in Portland.
Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. And I have some questions about some of the protests. And I do think there has been some violence and law breaking. But a protest is a protest. And I don't care who it's for, you know, whatever. That is democracy.
I agree with you.
I don't have a problem with that.
How about this? D. Hibby texting in all caps saying, "She lost, Chuck. Get over it." Because that's what I'm doing right now.
You're not over it yet.
As this was brought up, I don't even think I brought this up. And I threw to an audio clip that was put on a piece of paper, not by me, because I walk into the show doing zero preparation whatsoever.
Sounds like you're not over it.
I set my alarm for 6:10 and get here at 6:59.
You want the Electoral College band? No.
Well, look.
I do not, actually.
Well, a lot of people want that band.
Well, I do think we wouldn't be talking as much about it had it been reversed. The Electoral College is there for a reason. It's been part of the system we've had before where someone lost the election but won the popular vote. I do think if Trump had if Hillary had won based on the electoral but not the popular, I do think we'd see less about that in the national news because I do think the media is slanted to the
Well, I only look at it this way. You know, they say your vote counts. Do you think your vote counted in Missouri? I mean, Trump was going to win, but Trump was going to win by 68% anyway. So you going out and voting for Trump, you think that made a difference? Your vote counted?
Well, yeah, I was one of the votes that made a difference. Sure. Well,
why go out and vote? I mean, the polls came back.
Well,
it was up 68 to 30
A lot of people didn't
something.
Go out and vote, and it cost their candidate the election.
Yeah, that's why I only think the electoral doesn't matter because your vote in Missouri didn't matter.
What did matter? It was part of the voting block that led to his victory in Missouri.
Yeah. You understand why the Electoral College
you could
is
say
there,
that,
so
you
that
say
way
everybody's vote didn't matter unless it came down to one vote
by the population centers on the coast. Now you look. I'm not saying it's crazy to say that that the popular vote should be the way that we go. It was put in place for a reason, and I think to a great extent, it's done its job of making sure that the vote is a mandate of all the states.
I agree too, because if you go out and you campaign and you win New York and you win Texas and you win California, you won.
Yeah.
So I get the Electoral College. It's just that something needs to be done about it.
To be fair, also, and I know you can't say anything and say oh for both sides, but to be fair, in my lifetime, for example, as a 34-year-old, I think I voted now in 5 presidential elections, and 2 times. In those, 16 years worth of elections, Democrats have won the popular vote and lost the election. So I think even if you are not a Democrat on the other side, you should understand why, even though they know the rules, Democrats would be bothered by that system.
Yeah,
that's all
I'm
saying.
I just said that. I understand that. But I will say I think there'd be less discussion of it on a national media level if Hillary had won by Electoral College.
Right.
Because I do think the national media was on board more with Hillary than
Donald
Trump.
I think it's different. I really do. I think it's absolutely different. 2000 was different and 2016 was different because you had that split. And then you can at least, even though everybody knows that Trump won, you can say, you know what, he won the Electoral College fair and square. That's how you campaign. Like, we all know you campaigned to win the Electoral College, so nobody's crying sour grapes. But I do think you can make the argument that, obviously, more people did vote for the other candidate, so it's not like there's this great revolution that everybody is thinking one way.
But a big reason that the Democrats have won is because of the immigration policies put forth by the Democrats.
That's your opinion,
Doug. Here's the opinion.
Doug, if you listen to Rush Limbaugh and he says, yeah, there was 2 million illegals that vote,
they've
then
allowed,
yes, you can.
Well, not just illegals. We've allowed some 12 million Mexicans have come into the country over the last few years. Most have settled in California. That big of a block can swing the election. When an election has been determined by the voters in California, that's a big reason why. A Democratic president, Jimmy Carter, allowed more than 120,000 Cubans to come to Florida, a state that was once...
Cubans vote for Republicans.
No, they don't.
They absolutely do.
They once did. They don't anymore.
Look that up.
You check to see who got the vote in Dade County this year.
I just looked
okay,
that up.
Okay, well, show me.
It is...
It's almost... Dade, count,
it
Dade and Broward County went almost entirely to the Democrats.
Blues won on Saturday.
It's got a lot to do with popular... This is why Democrats...
Doug, you just said
this
Cubans.
Is why,
go on the road now, don't
This
Doug,
is why, yes, I did
Cubans.
Say Cubans.
Look up
David
Cubans.
They carried most of South Florida. Yes, they did.
Can
it's
I just,
not like all of South Florida is just Cubans, Doug. Please look that up.
Listen to me.
Cuban.
Let's tie this up in a nice way. If, Charlie, you admit, per your Democratic marching orders, you voted for Hillary 3 times.
I did.
Okay.
That'd be about right.
And how about that Blues performance? 3-0 at home.
Yep.
3-0.
I didn't
That's
even
something
want to
we could all
up.
Vote
Literally,
for.
I was so
they
happy.
Needed that.
I was so
if,
happy coming in.
If we
in
allow immigrants
the
by
lost.
The millions to come in, yes, they're going to be voting Democratic. Yes, we've seen that. So are you going to allow a huge mass of Mexicans that have come in California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, are they going to swing our elections now? That's what the Democrats want. That's why they've allowed them to come in.
Okay.
That's
those,
exactly what
those,
they want.
The states you just mentioned, Doug, I'll work in facts. Arizona went Republican. Texas always goes Republican. Florida went Republican.
But now you're talking Electoral College. You're not talking popular vote. those people would have voted Democratic, most likely, Doug, as they did in South Florida.
I didn't even bring this up. I don't know why you're still mad about it.
We started talking about the Electoral
and
College.
Please, listeners, because I like facts, please Google who Cubans vote for in the past and now. That's all I ask of you.
I hope that you do.
Please Google and look that up.
There was a big deal. They made a big deal out of it this year in Florida that the South Florida, when Dade and Broward counties come in, those will go Democrat because that's the big
Doug, the big cities always go Democrat all across the country. All across the country. It doesn't matter if it's Latino.
That's who lives in Miami,
in Chicago,
and Fort Lauderdale.
In L.A., in New York City. All big cities go
Democrat.
Can
I tell a little story?
This is not breaking news.
Can I tell a little story?
Please,
you know, yesterday,
please get us off this subject.
Yesterday, I didn't have to work. And I said to my son, I said, Tyler, what would you like to do today? I gave him a couple options. You know what he chose?
What?
He wanted to go to Ballpark Village and go to the Cardinal Hall of Fame Museum. And he's been there four times before. And we went, we had a lovely time.
It's a great museum.
So I just want to tell people, you know what? You get to hold, like, you can hold Stan's bat. You can hold Ozzy's bat. You can take a picture. So I'm saying, I think folks on the left, folks on the right, those that supported Hillary and voted for her three times, or folks like Doug who voted for Donald Trump, get together and go to the Cardinal Hall of Fame Museum at Ballpark Village, and everything will be beautiful.
Let's agree on this. Let's have Ric Flair settle this and listen to a clip. Ric Flair, stories about him and Andre the Giant on the Dan Le Batard show. Clip number two, Plowsy.
Hit the lever, Plowsy.
I was with him one night at the Downtowner in Charlotte. 1975, he drank 106 beers. And Frank Valois, his manager at that time, drank 56.
Come on.
Hey, I have been on a plane on a 747 with him going to Tokyo out of Chicago, number four on Northwest, where he drank every bottle of vodka on the plane.
Well, I want to know how you used him as a wingman, because I imagine the ladies were dying to know whether he was proportional or not. Like,
I made sure they knew he was. Are you kidding? I think I wore a sign around my neck. Want some? Come get some. Take little Ricky with you.
Little Ricky Flair. You know, nobody was insulting you there, right?
That was before I was a nature boy. I needed a little help back then.
I don't know what we just listened to.
106 beers. That's the part I heard. 106 beers by Andre the Giant, which would break the, what was the Wade Boggs record? I think it was about 72 that apparently he drank on a flight from like Seattle to Boston back in the day.
You wonder how that's even possible for a person of Wade Boggs' stature. What was he, about 6'2"?
I could see Andre the Giant doing something like that. I've heard other wrestlers tell stories like that Andre the Giant could just absolutely crush a beer in literally one set.
A normal person, if you weigh 200 pounds and you have 10 beers, you're wasted, right? You're just on the floor?
I would say.
With 10?
Charlie, I'm just giving you props here. November 15th article, 54% of Latinos supported Trump.
Thank you.
What's the date on that?
Trying to get
November 15th, 2016. So,
and whose article?
Yeah,
is it?
Where do you got to look at where you read?
Whatever article that was, it was biased and it's
who
not
wrote
credible.
That?
No, but I think it's fair. Look, I'm trying to be the peacemaker, but you have to look at everywhere. Every piece of information.
I agree. I'm not trying to argue about this, okay?
Yes,
I was
you
sitting
were.
Here. I was talking about.
I told a great story about Tyler going to the Hall of Fame. You could have brought up a great memory of yours from your youth.
People can disagree. That's what's great about this country. You can't make up your own facts. That's my whole point. And that's happened a lot in this election on both sides.
That's why I just said read where it's from. It's pretty credible. The two writers on this are writers and editors for Hispanic Immigrants and Demographic for Pew Research Center. So they are educated and have a background in.
Well, it doesn't matter that
voting.
Pew Research Center, I think, is legitimate.
Their affiliation with what party? So I can't.
It doesn't matter, Plowsy. You're right, and those stats are right.
You know, got to be careful. I saw maps on every network about how the Latino vote in South Florida was going to go to Hillary.
They said this was the closest it's been, though, for a Democratic candidate for the Latino population.
Best thing I saw all weekend on Facebook was there was a picture of Huffington Post posted. You know, they're just all
the Huffington Post.
They're all over.
I saw that too.
But they posted a picture of
way left.
Trump's white cabinet or whatever, and it's a picture of all these white congressmen, and then somebody posted a picture of the Huffington Post editorial staff, 35 white people.
Well, almost all white women, too. Yeah. 35 white women.
Yeah, so if you're
complaining about somebody else's call on diversity.
Yeah, so if you're going to call people out, you need to look at your own self.
Can I just say this? If you're thinking
of... You can say anything you want,
if you're
sir.
Thinking of getting some work done on your house, sprucing up a little bit, why not support the sponsors? Support a company that, in addition to doing great work, also podcasts like the Dickens, and that is Elysium Restoration and Design. Highest quality craftsmen with more than 15 years of experience with bathroom remodels, kitchens, basements, additions, windows, doors, and flooring. They do custom builds like the built-in bookshelves, which I'm blessed enough to have, and they look great. They can add crown molding. Visit erdstl.com or facebook.com/erdstl to see some of their amazing work, and it is amazing. Elysium Restoration and Design. Trust is one of the things they build well.
Well done, sir. We have a lot of live reads. Our sponsors are going to be happy, so I appreciate the help with them. We have a stacked show. I'm going to make sure we don't talk any more politics the rest of this show. I'm going to try my best, at least. We have 8 o'clock, Gabe DeYarman, publisher at PowerMizzou.com. That's brought to you by Bud Light. 8:30, Rick Hummel, of course, the Hall of Fame Cardinals reporter for the Post-Dispatch, talking Cardinals baseball. 9 o'clock, the mini exit poll. I think Sea Monster just knows... Is my point running so bad that you feel now that every single day I come in, you have to do an exit poll just to try to keep me on track for,
is that right,
for a certain hour of the show? Is that what the motivation is for that?
Actually, no. I came across a few things that I had a few questions that I thought would be fun for the
show. The answer is yes to your question.
I like it, though. I like good questions, and I think it sparks a good, strong debate.
You're flush. Is it because you're angry or because it's really hot in here?
I'm not angry.
You're a little flush.
It is hot in here.
All right, I'm just
honestly,
asking.
I walked in today in a really good mood.
And you're seriously. Not anymore?
Oh, none of this really bothers me.
That's a lie. I think you're a little agitated. You can get through it, but you're a little agitated.
Doug
right
might
now.
Be right on these numbers because they're all over the board on these. Washington
of course
Post,
they are.
It Washington depends Post what site has you like 78% Latinos.
No,
voted
the Washington Post.
Right. Stop. So can we just say something? The point was Cubans. It was yes. not Latinos. It was well, Cubans.
Same thing.
That's oh my God. We got to take a break.
The reason we
had
to
take a break. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After, broadcasting live from the Gateway Buick GMC studio on the all new 590 The Fan, AM 105.7 HD2 and InsideSTL.com.